Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app.
Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
If you're a maintenance supervisor for a commercial property, you've had to deal with everything from leaky faucets to flickering light bulbs. But nothing's worse than that ancient boiler that's lived in the building since the day it was built, 50 years ago. It's enough to make anyone lose their cool. That's where Grainger comes in. With industrial-grade products and dependable fast delivery, Grainger can help with any challenge, from worn-out components to everyday necessities. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Oh my goodness, the extra loudness in the background. I promise I'm a professional streamer. Hello, everyone. It is December 21st. My name is Cresta Star. That is the illustrious, the beautiful SP3. And this is the post show for AEW Collision over here on Fightful. SP3, how are you? I know we haven't seen each other in a whole 24 hours, but how are you?
I know, it's been a while. It's been a while. It's been a whirlwind. But yes, I am doing well. Thank you for having me on here, filling in for Iridian and Rick. I have big shoes to fill with the both of them. They are great at what they do and what they do with you every Saturday. So I'm honored to kind of fill in today. And we're going to talk some wrestling because that might have been the best episode of Collision I would say ever. I saw somebody in the chat say of the year might be the best episode ever, just off the vibe. We were there last night in the Hammerstein Ballroom. There's no other arena like that, and it came across well on tonight's show.
I mean, I wanted to be here for the Fightful Faithful. We love you all to do the post show for Collision, but I had said last night, when Will Ospreay comes out tonight, it's going to blow the roof off of that place. And you could absolutely see that. But before we get into any of that fun stuff, guys, go ahead and leave a thumbs up on this video. Whether you're watching us on YouTube, on X, Twitter, or Twitch, we see you. We appreciate you. And if you really like us and you're really having a good time, why don't you send in one of those fancy, spancy super chats? It supports the channel. Or you can send in a Humper Chat over to humperchats.com. We get to keep a little bit more of the proceeds. We got our mods in the background. Let me just give the proper credit to the young, beautiful Drew, who is going to make sure we read all of your comments, all of your Humper Chats, and all your super chats. And if you want to get the non-aggregated wrestling news from the sauce, pull up to Fightful Select. It's the best $5 in the business. Heck, you can even go up to like $100 if you want to. We've got updates on what's going on in TNA. We've got updates on everything. Ask Sean Rock, who's that? Sean Ross Sapp, and ask Grapsody, all for $5 a month at Fightful. Go ahead, subscribe. You like that. I'm done shilling. I kind of got your input about what you thought about the show overall. You thought it was the best Collision of the year. But I'm going to ask you again. what did you think about the show? Do you think this progressed everything? I want to say everything is positive and yes, but what did you think about the show overall before we get into the first match?
This episode, and I feel like what's going to be the vibe for this episode and AEW Dynamite this week, they really feel, it feels like a hot company in a building like the Hammerstein Ballroom in front of New York fans that are into everything. The Continental Classic, this feels like the best week that it's had between even the 2 years. And I felt like last year's Continental Classic had a better overall field of more main eventers. But I feel like this field, over the last week, they've been telling different stories, whether it's Mark Briscoe's underdog story against Kyle Fletcher last Saturday, whether it's Will Ospreay having a Darby Allin-style matchup and having one of the best TV matches of the year. And then tonight with Ricochet taking the next step of his heel turn and really just thriving in the heat that he got from the Hammerstein Ballroom, including toilet paper, which rocked because I haven't seen that since Jimmy Rave in a Ring of Honor. It's been that long since they did toilet paper instead of streamers, so that was a lot of fun. And then you had Claudio and Darby, and I, you know, you really thought after Claudio took the first matchup, this was going to be Darby's match to win, but Claudio kind of going through his old arsenal, not being able to put Darby away, and then cheating to win, that tells the story, and that furthers Darby's chase of the AEW World Championship. So I thought it further stories, it helped the build to AEW World's End, and we got some of the best wrestling that we saw all week in front of a hot crowd in New York City. Doesn't get better than that.
I am in almost total agreement with you. I like wrestling, so I was already going into this with, this is already a 10 out of 10. If I wanted to go outside and go down the street, I could go back to Collision. And this was a good match. I will say some of the things felt a little gratuitous, but that's okay. That's okay. Overall, if I had to nitpick, that'd be the only thing. I would still give this a 10 out of 10. I do like that they gave almost every New Yorker who's employed there something to do tonight at the Hammerstein Ballroom. Not mad at it. Not mad at it at all. Speaking of native New Yorkers, we open up the show with Big Boom AJ and Big Justice Ian Riccaboni going over the rundown of the show. This is like the only time I felt it was a little gratuitous of the boom. It was cool. The
first time. My God. It was too much. It was way too much. It was like every other word. He could, like, literally, they kept talking about each matchup and then they would go to him and he would just say boom. Like, it's like, Jesus.
Let it breathe. It's fine. I thought it was great, but like, it was just a little too much. It does get interrupted by the King of New York, Mr. Chris Jericho, which inside a secret.
It wasn't the open. That was later on in the show.
When they come back out, you're right.
That's why I felt gratuitous to you, because it felt like the same
segment. It was one segment. It was one segment to me. I was like, would I miss writing down Chris Jericho? I'm like, I know it was this, so I'm going to say it.
I thought the good part of the open was, I feel like it was AEW continuing the trend that started on Dynamite this week with them switching up kind of the format of how they open the show. Mm-hmm. Over like the last few months, really, they've been opening the show with like a wide shot before we go into someone coming out for an in-ring promo or someone coming out for a in-ring match. If you notice on Dynamite this week, they started off with basically a rundown of what was going to happen on the show. Then they kicked it over to hype the main event to Orange, Jay White, and Hangman Adam Page. Then they said, oh, let's hype the Continental Classic. They pinned it over to Ospreay and Darby cutting promos. Then they said, oh, MJF's going to be here later tonight. And we saw MJF walking backstage. It's a good way to kind of get the viewer to be like, oh, okay, let me stay tuned so I can watch these guys. I can watch Ospreay versus Darby. I can watch MJF. And then here, they had a somewhat celebrity, a viral celebrity here, and they used him to kind of promote the card. So it's them switching up the format, which I appreciate.
And this is before when they were doing it where you would have this shot of somebody doing it, then this shot, then Saturday. And also to your point, I like that they're still keeping AJ and Big Justice in everyone's mind because, you know, object permanence on the internet. You're here today, gone tomorrow. And oh boy, does have a boot on his foot. So it is nice to keep this person in the forefront. Forefront being our segue into our first match. We get a Gold League C2 match. Will Ospreay versus Ricochet. Now, I'm gonna let you guys in on a little insider secret, right? Last night, SP3 told me that in 2024, Ricochet is just now finding out 2009 Jadakiss, and that popped me. Because every time Ricochet comes out, I just want him to go, or whatever. Personality-wise, you know, if someone's going to call me a corn, I might as well be on the cob. I might as well be the corn connoisseur. So I am not mad at it. You're not going to call me a corn. I'm going to make money.
Did you mute or did I mute?
Is my mic back? Is my mic back?
Oh, okay. I was like, did my headphones go out or?
And my mic tried to silence me about talking about Ricochet turning corn into gold. This match from jump was good because everyone's cheering, chanting, throwing streamers. Ricochet comes out, they start throwing toilet paper. Let me say this because there's two New Yorkers in the room right now, right? New York, grow up. That was so big. Bro, like, I love a good shenanigan. And that was a peak shenanigan when they started throwing the toilet paper in the ring. It was so funny, in fact. Will Ospreay went to throw it back, realized what it was, started laughing, and rolled out the ring.
Yo, Will's reaction made that moment even better. Him just, because you know Will, because he's kind of like shed light on who he is outside the ring, and you know he's friends with Ricochet. Like, he was not expecting that. That was a genuine reaction from Will Ospreay.
That took me back to freaking, not as bad, but Hulk Hogan coming out saying, I'm the third man. He throwing toilet paper. Ricochet has done nothing that, kind of like Cody. Y'all just like to boo him. Ricochet did nothing wrong, and y'all just boo him because it's fun.
He's embraced it. He's embraced it way more than Cody ever did.
Cody said, I will not be booed. Ricochet is like, I don't care. I don't care. Jokes and shenanigans aside, this match was fantastic. I have to also be remiss if I didn't point out that the crowd was started chanting, "We want Samantha." Again, New York, please grow up. Y'all embarrassing me out here. Please, please. This match was fantastic, but my favorite point of this match was when Will Ospreay goes for the Styles Clash the first time, and Ricochet and his infinite genius, also wrestling this man since like 2016, 2019, grabbing his leg so he won't get caught with the Styles Clash. Will Ospreay still got him. He still got him. Don't get me wrong. He still got him. But that was beautiful, beautiful. Before we get into the end of this match, tell me your highlights. What did you think about this SP3?
This might have been the best character work of Ricochet's career. Like, he took that heat and he was a character for once. It wasn't just cool moves for the sake of cool moves, for the sake of popping people. And for the first time, you felt like genuine kind of first stakes as well as heat between Will Ospreay and Ricochet. And I've been watching them wrestle, like you said, since 2016 when they did the whole viral matchup. And it was a spot fest. It was spot foo. For your Righteous Reg friends. Like, it was your spot foo, and it put them on the map. But, you know, they tried to do it the next year and it wasn't as memorable as it was the year before. They did it all over the world for a couple of years then. Then they had this whole break. And then when we got it again, it was refreshing again at the anniversary show. But this match was just so much better because wrestling is simple. You need a babyface. You need a heel. You had a guy here that is an annoying dweeb that the fans are just throwing out the building.
You're not
and
wrong.
You got the coolest everyday man in professional wrestling today, who's also the best wrestler in professional wrestling today. And now Ricochet is using the crowd heat and his character direction, and especially following up with what happened with the Hurt Syndicate on Wednesday. And he is just embracing it. He's wiping his ass with the toilet paper and shoving it in Will's mouth. He's doing his high flying thing and then just walking around like he's the coolest thing ever. Like, he's making his high flying spectacular moves a heel move, because you're like, the fans are just chanting back at him, "You still suck. You still suck."
Bro, after, oh yo, I have that written down. After he gave Will Ospreay a DVD on the apron, did all of that, and then did a moonsault outside, got up, and they said, you still suck. I'm not mad at it because, like, Ricochet in his own right is just as talented as Will Ospreay. But y'all some haters. And he said, you know what, if y'all gonna hate me, not to talk about Smitty, but you can hate me now. But I won't stop now.
But like he went in the corner and like even when he's doing the gun, yo, that gets heat now. Like him doing that whole, and it was stupid when he was doing it when it was a baby face. But now it's great because he's
Look at this corny guy. Look at this corny guy. Mind you, almost everybody in AEW has a video game or anime adjacent finisher move, the V trigger, the one winged angel, the spirit. But he's corny. He's corny. This guy, Stormbreaker, this guy's corny. He's Storm Zero. He's corny. He does his spirit gun, and this guy's the corniest guy on the planet. Ricochet, get your money. Also, teach a masterclass on how to work with your heat, because there are some people in your locker room who are like, I don't want to be corny. Be corny. Be on the cob.
Embrace the corn, yo. Embrace the corn. And that's what Ricochet has done. And he has turned, it was not looking so good. Like, after like a month or so, he had the, you know, the amazing triple threat at Wrestle Dream, but as far as where Ricochet was at, it was like, dude, you came over from WWE and you kind of have a similar position here in AEW, but with a simple character change, he's really turned it around. And I compare it to like someone like a Christian Cage, who came into AEW and he was always great. Everyone loves Christian Cage, but his initial run in AEW, people were not feeling it that much. They felt like the hype was too much when he got signed, but he found a new character, hating on dead fathers and becoming the father of all fathers. And he turned it around and he's become one of the best things about AEW. And I feel like Ricochet is on the cusp of that.
Sometimes it just takes something really simple for you to turn it into something fantastic. Dead dads, Jadakiss laugh. We do get the finish of the match where there is a ref bump, a visual pin for Will Ospreay. I think the crowd counts to like 15 or 20. Yeah. When that happened, my mind was like, oh, so Ricochet is winning this on some malarkey. I couldn't even write down to explain to you what happened in this last 5 to 10 seconds of this match. So Will picks up the ref to go count. Then Will goes up for some reason to the corner, gets yam bag shuffled. Then Will is like, no, ref, it wasn't me, my balls, bruv. And then this man gets hit with a spirit gun. And then it's the pin, because the ref is like, oh, that's crazy. 1, 2, 3. That's the best way I could describe it. It happened so fast. These guys are professionals, but this was like, so what did you think about the finish? I'm not mad, but at the same time, Ricochet, you son of a bitch.
I wanted this finish so bad. Like when I saw that Will Ospreay and Ricochet were in the Gold League together, I was like, y'all can't, you see, y'all pulled the trigger too fast on doing the first matchup. So y'all can't do a 20-minute time limit draw here. You have to have someone go over. And Will going over accomplishes nothing. Will Ospreay is on a higher plane than Ricochet is in AEW. Ricochet needs this win, but he's got to do it in a way that enhances his heel character. And him going to the point of kicking the referee, not once, he did it twice because he didn't get it done the first time. He was like, no, kicked him into the ropes. He bangs into the ropes. Will's like, what the hell, bruv? You hit him to the ropes, huh? And he's looking at him, and then he gets hit with the spirit gun. 1, 2, 3. Ricochet is in the lead in the Gold League, 9 points. And that makes, you know, the match that's going to be taped tomorrow at the Hammerstein Ballroom and played on Christmas Day more interesting between Darby and Ricochet, because now Ricochet needs that win to kind of confirm his spot in the playoffs.
Not mad at it at all. I do think, again, it was a little bit of a turd move. And that was a good segue into this super chat we got from Genesis J. Thank you so much. Saying Swerve did call him a turd. You know, every time someone makes fun of Ricochet, all I could think of is, why you bald, though?
Trevor.
Taking it in stride, though. Like, I gotta give it up to Ricochet, because honestly, not a lot of people take being booed for no reason and try. Some people be like, I'm mad about it. I could think of three wrestlers off the top of my head, but I won't. But like, they're like, I'm just mad. And you're like, I'm glad you can do it. I can't. I hit puberty. That is a New Yorker's dying breath. Our last breath is a Jada kiss.
Like, you're like, oh, damn, I got shot.
Ooh. All right. So this slobber knocker of a match was followed up by two men with verbal guns getting into the ring and shooting at each other for 5 minutes. This promo between MJF and Adam Cole. Okay. Honestly speaking, a little bit at first, I was like, okay, you guys turn on each other, who cares? But this took it to the next level. We start off with Adam Cole coming out. He's doing his thing. And before he get out a word, MJF comes out. You know, does his cheap heat, local crap, And then Adam Cole, he says to Adam Cole, you turned on me. So I don't understand why you're mad at me. You did this, Mimi. He said, is it because your ankle's busted? Is it because you're mad? You're so tan, you're jaundiced? Or is it because the dentist isn't seeing you anymore? And I was like, MJF.
No, is he said you have many different enemies. Yes. He said, a gust of wind, a crack in the street, or a cavity. Because I heard, because you got the oh from the crowd, and then he said, because I heard that your dentist isn't seeing you anymore. Big pop from the Hammerstein.
Everyone's messy. Everyone's messy. I feel like this is an episode of Maury, like, ooh, you guys are dating anyone. It worked. For a hot second, you heard someone chanting cheap heat, because that's what that was. But I wasn't mad at it. Sometimes cheap heat ain't bad.
Cheap heat, if it works, it works. It's not cheap. It was bought with proper currency in professional wrestling. I like these guys using those two elements because they needed something. Because this was honestly...
Like, what are you fighting for at this point? Like, it doesn't, like, you're mad that the other one doesn't want, y'all don't want to talk to each other, so why are y'all still fighting? That's what it was giving.
It's because they had Adam Cole turn on an MJF, then had Cole become the babyface and never explained why Adam Cole was the babyface, and then he spent all his time talking, explaining to us why MJF is a jerk, and we're like, dude, we know. We want to know why we should like you. We don't like him. It's fine. We don't like him. But you need to give us a reason to like you.
Because we don't know why you were with this guy who's a notorious jerk. To be fair, though, Adam Cole gets this man right back. He said, you had two hair plant surgeries. Cue the TikTok. When he said that, I was like, oh, yo, we're wilding. He said, two hair plant surgeries. You pull some strings, so your girlfriend got hired. When you enter a room, people immediately can't wait for you to leave. I'm like, damn. No, that's not what he said. My apologies. He said, if I was a bad person, I would have said those things.
I'm like, so you are a bad person because that's what you're doing.
I watch RuPaul's Drag Race, and there's a drag queen named Jimbo. And one time a drag queen got in Jimbo's butt, and Jimbo said, well, if I was a mean girl, I would say your wigs are crunchy and your hair is uneven and you look a mess, but I'm not that girl. And that's exactly what Adam Cole is like. I'm not that girl, but you don't have no hair and you're whack and everyone hates you. I would never say those things about you, but imagine if someone did. I wasn't mad at it because it's kind of like, if we go with tit for tat, sometimes it needs a little spice, and I hate to compare people, but these two low-key give me Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels vibes. Like, I don't know if you guys dead hate each other, but the on-screen chemistry is like, you guys kind of, if you don't like each other, I'm sports confused. You know, if you do like each other, you know what I mean? It's good. This is such good shit, pal. This ends up ending off with Adam Cole saying, you're just mad because you don't want anyone to get close to you. And to go back to what I said earlier about some things feeling gratuitous, This is the third storyline where this is the crux of MJF's character. Somebody gets too close to you and then you yell and talk about your emotional trauma and then you're right back to being the champ. And that's exactly what ended up happening. We saw that with CM Punk and with Jericho. Somebody says, well, that's why you don't have any friends, because anytime someone gets close to you, you start yelling and then your fifis are hurt. I mean, it's cool. I like the promo up until that point because it's kind of like, okay, so we know this. Again, like you just said, we know this. We all know this. So what are we doing this different this time? So I'm excited for where this goes. What else? There's a dick kick on Adam Cole. After Adam Cole said, let's fight each other, MJF said, I'm going to kick you in the dick. And then the Kingdom came out to save him. What are your thoughts on this segment? I'm done. I'm off my soapbox.
I enjoyed this. I thought it was the best segment that they've been a part of, because they had somehow did what I thought was impossible and superseded Chris Jericho as my most unlikable thing about AEW right now.
Hi, guys. So,
Chris Jericho, I'm sorry. Seeing being there live and the video package on Dynamite, I'm a fan again. I jumped on back on board. This has been the most bipolar relationship I've ever been on. This is the most on-again, off-again relationship like I've ever been in. Like, this is ridiculous. It's ridiculous what Chris Jericho's doing to me this year. But Cole and MJF had not been very entertaining, had not made a lot of...
Anywhere worth going is worth going in good boots, and you can find your perfect pair at Tecovas. Tecovas crafts quality Western boots for everyone, from generational ranchers and lifelong cowboys to first-time boot buyers, which is what I was up until a couple of years ago. Growing up in Kentucky, you see boots everywhere. But I never jumped into the game until I found Tecovas, and I love it. Every one of Tecovas boots are handcrafted with over 200 meticulous steps for broken-in comfort right out of the box. Whether it's a long day or a big night, your Tecovas are built to last and impress. That's why Esquire loves them and says they're the reason we keep coming back to Tecovas. They are so comfortable. Plus, with Tecovas' best in the West guarantee, you get free returns and exchanges for 30 days. And right now, get 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS when you sign up for email and text. That's 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS. That's tecovas.com/SRS. See site for details. Tecovas. Point your toes west.
No offense, but your brain is a terrible place to keep your big idea. It belongs in the world, but you know that already. You have a calling, a voice that says, this is what I'm meant to do. Create the website your big idea deserves with Wix. Make it your own with top-to-bottom customization, AI to help realize your vision, and built-in business tools to turn your daydream into your dream job. Wix supports every stage of the business journey, except one. Your decision to begin. Ready? Go to Wix.com.
Sense in the decisions that they've made along the way with everything. And like I said, Adam Cole never explaining why he's the babyface of this whole situation has been a big kind of obstacle against it. So I like them fleshing things out here. And I felt like Cole's response to MJF was very much an MJF style move. MJF is the type of person who would say, oh, no, I'm not that bad of a person, but let me diss you about this. Oh, I'm not that bad of a person. Well, let me insult you about this. So I think that was Cole using MJF's tricks that he knows of because they were friends and because they were so close against him to get under his skin enough for him to let down the mask. And that's why when he tells him, like, you're the only reason that you're so upset with me is because I turned on you first and you didn't get to beat me to the punch. And he said, yes it was like, all right. And then we get a good MJF promo where he's the villain who's explaining his whole plot. He's like, I was gonna turn on you at World's End. He was like, you became a liability, you became a distraction, I couldn't do it. He was like, You were perfectly fine as my sidekick when I was AEW world champion. And I like him also bringing up the fact that Cole had failed to become the AEW world champion himself. I thought Cole talking about, oh, you know, I always wanted to be the best and I did the best and I did this in Ring of Honor. Not even mentioning that it was with his friend Kyle O'Reilly, who's a part of this story. But Anyway, that's besides the point. I feel like Adam Cole's decision making on where he wants to go with his babyface character hasn't been good, but I felt like MJF was back in his heel best, where he's a very flawed heel character, where we know the things that get under his skin, so do the babyface characters. They use that against him. He explains his plot, but somehow, some way, he's always coming out on top. So it's that's what makes him a great villain, is because he's always going to draw you back in because you want to see someone get the better of him.
No, absolutely. MJF is the pinnacle of... He can't keep getting away with this. How does he keep getting away with this? How do you keep tricking these people? And again, I have to agree with what you said earlier because it's so very apt. We know who MJF is. Adam Cole. Why? First of all, why are you with him? And the fact that you're with him, now why should we like you? What makes you different? Like, I'm not mad at this promo. I'm very sports invested again. I can't wait to see how this turns out. But now it's beginning to feel like, okay, these two dead hate each other. But I worry, like with last time, what do we do after this? Do we go our separate ways? Do we make a mega conglomeration? I just want it to make sense.
I just need them to get separated. We need to end this at World's End. It needs to end. Despite me being, you know, I thought the segment on Wednesday was all right, other than the Photoshop picture and stuff like that. That was weird. But I thought this segment was even better than that, the best segment that they've been a part of since they restarted the feud. But this needs to end at World's End. Just end it.
He said, knock it off. Meet Norman sends us a super chat, says, what up? Oh, sorry, I can't read. Sup, partners. On Wednesday, Will Hobbs got a meet Normans. I get this Bay/MJF yellow versus orange spray tan bowl over. Stop with the jewelry feuds. I mean, you can't call Adam Cole yellow and then come out looking orange today. Just saying,
you just a different color of the rainbow, my brother.
I respect it.
Hey, they don't got the natural tan that we do.
I mean, even if so, man, like, at least make it even. I'm kidding. Don't beat me up. I'm soft. I'll do the job. Moving on from there, we do get backstage with Lexi Nair and Chris Statlander. Lexi Nair said, what did you say to to Willow Nightingale after all of the torment that you put this girl through? And she's like, that's between us. We're going to have a private conversation. I'm like, okay, I'll let it play out. I'll let it play out. And then she calls out Mercedes. You have anything to add?
I mean, I thought that this was a nice setup for her match later on in the show. And I'm interested in this whole story of her trying to, like, get back in Willow's graces. I thought that was like one of the bigger things that happened on Rampage this week, was her wishing Willow luck and then making the save for her against Harley Cameron and Penelope Ford. And Harley Cameron is amazing because she made me laugh when Penelope told her to watch your back. And she's like, what's on my back? Why do I need to watch?
Harley Cameron is one of the best clowns in this circus. And I would pay a ticket. To see her. She's so funny. This is a circus full of clowns, but she's one of the shiniest ones. I love her. And for her to be so improved so fast, again, take notes, some of y'all. Like, she's so funny and so humble. And, like, I don't know. And there's so many things to like about Harley Cameron. Agreed. I say I don't know a lot because I don't know how to articulate and be professional, because I swear a lot.
Sir swears a lot.
I'm a pirate. Honestly, I swear a lot. And I try so hard to be like, guys, this is the show. Because I don't want to say, this is the best effing show I've ever... I love wrestling, man. We get our next backstage segment with Lexi Nair and Orange Cassidy. And Orange Cassidy said, let me put on my Ratatouille hat because I'm about to cook. He's like, there's three of us and one Jonathan Moxley in this four-way, right? Right. John Moxley has terrorized 1, 2, 3 of us, right? Right. There'll be no extra Death Rider, so it's just one John Moxley. Now, I know it's every man for themselves, but if three of us jump John Moxley, then we could fight for the title, and it'd be just as a new champion, because y'all can't listen. Y'all don't want to listen. Y'all want to fight. So just think about it. Isn't it crazy, the guy who doesn't talk, the laziest guy in the room, is the master strategist? What is happening? The fact that he had to be like, listen, guys, I know numbers are John Moxley, us. Then we fight. I thought this was fantastic.
Like, do you understand?
3-1 Jump. Then we fight. Fair fight. Think about it. If he took off his glasses, like, yo, he's tired. This orange juice is tired. He's wearing all black now. He's angry. What did you think about this?
I think Orange is doing some excellent work on the microphone throughout this whole Death Riders feud. He's really showing that he's grown his voice as a character, that he can play this kind of lazy, laid-back, nonchalant character. But at the same time, when he cares about something, you hear that in his voice, you hear that in his delivery, and you felt that here. I feel like this build has struggled a bit, to say the least. But I feel like Orange Cassidy has been one of the bright spots whenever he's had the opportunity to talk.
Yeah, my biggest complaint with the Death Riders has been, what are we doing here? Where is the method to the madness? If you say you wanted to change, where's the change? You know what I mean? What are we doing here? It seems like madness for the sake of madness. And I'd be with it, but what are we doing here? So
yeah, when you have the whole goal of taking over AEW, or you have a segment that you're supposed to siege TBS, and all you do is move a cameraman into the ring, and you're supposed to be taking over AEW, and outside of like the 2 weeks after Wrestle Dream, y'all are like in one segment and then not here. So y'all are not really taking over. Y'all just have the AEW World Championship in hiding, in witness protection. That's all y'all have really done.
This is not witness protection. We know where it is. It's not like we don't know where it is. We know exactly where it is. This is more like ransom. this is a mugging, a kidnapping, if you will. And Tony Khan says, I don't negotiate with terrorists. You can have that Rinky Dink title. I got a million of them. I'm having a classic for one right now. I want the Death Riders to do something. And also, what the hell is in that briefcase?
The AEW World Title.
All right, you know, moving on.
You said you knew where it was. That's where the AEW World Title is.
Yeah, boo, tomato.
What? You want there to be like money or something? A gun?
Honestly, I want them to open up the briefcase, and the moment they open it up, all you hear is, "Here comes the money."
Money talks.
Money.
They show it's a briefcase of money, and then you hear money talks.
He stops at the top of the ramp and then does this, and then Okada's music plays. He's like, why? Honestly, the money faction, Shane McMahon and Okada, the Rainmaker. Okada still going around calling people bitch. that's such good shit, pal. Anyway, we got Krista Atlanta versus Penelope Ford. This match was fast and furious, but it wasn't. It felt that way because of the commercial break right in between. The commercial break got it so much so where you got like 3 minutes of wrestling on this side. Commercial break, 2 minutes of wrestling on this side. We're done. Highlight of this match for me was a stalling suplex into a counter, almost a code red by Penelope Ford, switch into another stalling suplex from Chris Statlander. But unfortunately, we get that picture-in-picture, then we get Saturday Night Fever for Statlander win. Before we get into the post-match, do you have any extra thoughts, comments on this?
I thought this was Penelope Ford's best match since her return. I thought she really showed out here, especially that springboard into the Poison Rana on Chris Statlander, and Chris Statlander so did like Death. I thought that Penelope Ford really had her timing down in this one, and Chris Statlander picking up another win, building up momentum for AEW World's End. I think that it's very interesting that they are adding this matchup, this rematch with Mercedes to World's End, because I really thought that Mercedes was just going to have World's End off because she was heading to Japan. But the way that this is happening so fast, maybe it's a change of plans or not. I have a feeling we might be saying new TBS champion come next Saturday.
I think Mercedes is doing a lot better than the internet would have you believe. However, I do think that it is time for Mercedes to move up to the women's world champion. And while I would like Statlander, I don't think Statlander needs the TBS title, if you know what I mean. I think there is somebody else in the mid card, like a Thunder Rosa, who should be in your main event title. I would even start vying Harley Cameron for it because she's improved so much. You know what I mean? I think that the women's roster has a good depth, that Statlander doesn't really need to be after the TBS. She needs to be after the main world title. I don't hate it, but I wouldn't. It's time for Mercedes to drop it, but I don't think to Statlander.
I can understand putting the title back on someone who you have created kind of like the breaker of streaks storyline. And, you know, you have Mercedes, who's undefeated, who just had her best AEW match with Statlander, that it probably should be Statlander that ends the reign. Cause I feel like she's higher up on the list of like stars in the AEW, that it doesn't feel like, oh, this is someone that Mercedes chose to kind of just bring up. It feels like Statlander is already up on the level of Mercedes here in AEW. So her winning this and then Mercedes moving on to the AEW women's division, women's championship, I think is just helping Statlander in segue into her getting into that scene as well. I think that she'll probably win the TBS championship, hold it for a couple of months, drop it to someone who should be in the mid-card title scene. But I feel like Mercedes being the TBS champion, I do agree, it needs to end, because there's a complete imbalance in the AEW women's division, because you're treating the TBS championship like it's either on the level or higher than your AEW women's world championship.
Nothing against Mariah May, but I feel like the attention that they give to Mercedes should be on Mariah May. But I feel like for as much crap as they give Mercedes for not working, Mariah May don't work out. She on her Roman Reigns shit. Not bad. When you the champion, you do what you want. But, you know, for everyone saying that Mercedes don't be working, let's take a look at our world champion. Mercedes, at least she go across the water.
Hey, she's still doing New Japan. Had the best women's match of the year to me in New Japan Pro Wrestling, so.
Yeah, I agree with you that the attention that's on the TBS title should be more on your women's side, but not for nothing. Mercedes got your... I don't know why I'm making that face.
It's supposed to be a mid-card title, so you should probably put it on mid-card people that are coming up. Mm-hmm. I feel like Statlander, she had her reign, and it was a really good reign, and it should have moved her up to the AEW Women's World Championship. Unfortunately, it didn't. But you can redo that and re-get her up there by having her have a second reign as TBS champion and the first ever two-time TBS champion.
That would be a good point. And speaking of two, we get a super chat from Just Ricardo saying, hi, y'all. At work. Hope it was fun. Love you. Yeah, we had a good time on AEW Dynamite. I mean, Collision tonight. It was overall, it was fantastic. Post-match, we do have a response from Mercedes Moné saying, I wanted to take World's End off, but since I beat you one, I'll beat you again. And I'm like, all right, it's going to be a good match, but we'll see. I talk mad shit now. I swore so much. We're going to get demonetized. I talk so much now.
No, you're out the window. You're fine.
I'm a pirate. I'm going to watch it anyway, and I'm going to be sports entertained. I'm like, wow, this match was so great. I can't believe that this was the best match ever. I can't believe I predicted this.
I can't believe I was right.
I can't believe I was right. Oh, my God. I'm such a wrestling fan. I flip-flop. The fuck? Oh, there we go. Demon. Sean's going to fire me. I'm going to get sanctioned.
He's gonna hit you up like, Cresta, I was watching the Collision post-show, and you curse way too much. We're going to have to give you next week off. You're suspended.
Grand opening, grand closing. We get the next segment is AJ and Big Justice are back. And before they could even say anything, they're interrupted by the Learning Tree. I'm so sick of Chris Jericho. I'm so sick of Chris Jericho and this New York gimmick, because he is from New York. We looked it up. He's from Long Island. He's from Long Island. We don't claim him. He's from Long Island. But he was like, who let these fans in the ring? Which, rude, accurate. And then he was like, child, did you get permission to be here? Did you ask Mayor de Blasio? Now, for you non-New Yorkers, we don't like, LeBlasio wasn't bad, but he's not the mayor right now. But our current mayor is about to go to jail. New York is having a bad time. We're not beating the allegations right now. New York is kind of like Gotham right now. So I mean, de Blasio was from like 20 years ago, 8 years ago. So, and then to say where Hammerstein Ballroom is in Manhattan, to say I could go up the block and go to Flushing.
He said my favorite bodega is a Walgreens in Flushing, just a few blocks away.
Where are my scissors? To get out of here. Chris Jericho, ooh, you working me, brother. I'm getting worked. I'm getting worked, brother.
So first of all, we gotta explain this because we are New Yorkers. They messed up because they put two black New Yorkers on this stream. Two New Yorkers that lived in the Bronx. So we gotta explain to the people who might not understand what a bodega is. A bodega
is not a bodega. I tell you what, it's not.
She said, first things first. Number one, take this note. Take it. You got your pen? All right. It's not a Walgreens.
It's not a Walgreens. If there's no cat manager, it's not a bodega.
There's no cat manager. The stove isn't on until 2 a.m. I learned that the hard way because I got out of the final battle most media scrum, got to the Bronx at 2 a.m. I got to the Bronx at 1:55 a.m. and they was like, nah, our stove is off at 2 a.m. And some guy in front of me was saying what I was thinking. It was like, it's 1:55.
I already started cleaning the stove at 1:54. You should have got here like 10 minutes earlier. The stove is off. Get some instant ramen because you can also buy that at the bodega. Get some instant ramen. Only code.
And I'm like, oh man, it ain't even worth it, man. I'll just go to sleep. I'll just go to sleep.
Dream of hot food.
Dream of hot food and cook me breakfast in the morning. And that's exactly what mine did. But a bodega is a one-stop shop where you could get a sandwich. You could get any accessories you need. You could get deodorant, toothpaste, toothbrush, Infamil. You could get juice for the crib. You could get water. You could get milk. You can get beer.
Get a bacon, egg, and cheese.
Bacon, egg, and cheese. That's why I went to Chris Jericho to do the post-media scrum at Final Battles, so I could have asked him, what do you call the person that makes your sandwiches in a bodega? I wanted to test his New York mettle. And if he would have said anything other than ock, I would have said, give me your New York license.
Nah.
You are not a New Yorker.
I personally let them talk first because, listen, their wild card is Poppy. So you could be Poppy, too. Straight up.
That's true. But no. But girls have the privilege. That's why I'm asking a man.
Girls have the privilege.
Like, man, we got to call a mock.
Until otherwise instructed to do so differently.
Until he want to go on a first name basis with us, like, he's ock.
Okay. Your name could be John, okay? Until you tell me your name is John. And if you got a problem with it, let me see the cat manager who's sitting on the bread. Wake his ass up. That's how they keep the bread warm.
That's how they keep the bread warm.
Who, we got so far off topic. Anyway.
Well, I'm glad y'all learned what a bodega was.
So, okay. All right. Chris Jericho then goes on to say how AEW is the land of good gimmicks and somehow lands on the Scissor Daddies. And then you hear the Acclaim music hit. Now, my first thought was like, you can't come to New York and rap like that. So when Anthony Bowens came out by himself, I was like, no daddy ass either. And the moment I thought that, they mentioned that on commentary.
Yeah.
Okay. Anthony Bowens comes out and invites Chris Jericho to a fight. Chris Jericho says Sugma. They go back and they say, we're going to do a boom scissor. If you guys don't know what a Sugma is the same thing as Ligma, okay? Ask your nephew. Ask your 13-year-old nephew what it is. I don't hate this, but I'm like, where is the rest of the Acclaimed? Furthermore, Bowen's single run, Bowens take the Ring of Honor championship off of Christopher Jericho? Not mad at it. What did you think? Because that's where my mind immediately went.
Yeah, I was all for all of this. I was interested that Bowens came out on his own, who's also a New Yorker who came up on the East Coast independent scene. I saw him on the East Coast independent scene like almost a decade ago and really always thought that he would be in the place that he is today. So I'm happy that Bowens was on this show. I'm happy that he came out without Max Caster because he got cheered, because he wouldn't have got cheered if it was next to Max Caster. But... I thought this was good use of Big Boom AJ and Big Justice. I think Chris Jericho is one of the rare acts that just works with the Costco guys. Like he is just work, and he could play the douchebag heel against them. Love Big Justice getting a huge pop by calling him a jackass. Anytime you have a little kid curse, that's a prop in New York.
That's
a huge prop in New York.
We love little foul mouth kids until you're foul mouth against me. Then I got to hit you.
Exactly. 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 Until it's against us. If it's against someone we don't like, oh, hell yeah. We with you. We with you. They became even bigger baby face there. And yeah, at the end, we got the boom and scissor display. I think this was a good use of the Costco guys, and it got a great reaction from the fans in the building.
Honestly, if we can get Big Justice just to go around and call people jackasses from now on. Hall of Fame. That's Hall of Fame material. Because imagine every time Chris Jericho goes, "Hi guys," this little kid comes out, "Shut up, jackass." 10 out of 10. You got to use. That's a bad joke, Cresta. Shut the hell up. We have a we have a super chat from Raphael Garcia, $4.99. Thank you so much. Saying, "Don't tell Kate, but I feel it should be Bowens to beat the geriatric tree." I mean the decrepit tree. And what is Darby? Because it's not concussed, I guess.
I mean, I think he might be. I was like, after they when they replayed that spot, I was like, how is he not concussed?
Darby built differently. But I don't know, man. Like, respectfully to Darby Allin, I've never seen somebody in real life have anime plot armor. Like, there's nothing that can stop this man. There's nothing that can, not even him. And he be trying to stop himself. There's nothing that can stop this man. Nothing at all. So with that being said, I don't know what Darby is. Darby, Mr. Fan, he's Mr. Perfect. Literally, he Mr. Fan. That we talk about who's a perfect wrestler is Darby Allin. It's Darby Allin. Because he can't be stopped.
He is truly amazing. And I just think he's like top five greatest TV wrestlers of all time. Like anytime he's on TV, you know it's going to be a great match. Like, and no different tonight.
You know, at first I was like, I want to disagree, but I'm like, I have to, the only person I could compare Darby Allin to is Jeff Hardy. And I could tell you as a kid, this was me. So now that I'm older and I'm like, damn, Jeff is rough. I don't want that. I'm looking at it from an older lens, like, yo, Darby, chill out. Whatever it is. But I'm sure that some kid had to be, did it, mom. And gonna be like, Darby, I'm like, you know what? Do your big one.
Oh, no.
Yeah. With the skateboard.
They got the skateboard.
So I want to be mad because I care about him because I'm a human with more than 5 brain cells. I care about the person who wrestles. But at the same time, I have to go back to Young Cresta. He be doing it.
I feel like the thing that makes Darby so special is because of how he uses his body. He taps into that human emotion of fans of you're worried. He taps into your human concern for another person's physical well-being. I feel like no one else in the industry today do I have worry about when I watch a professional wrestling matchup.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself, talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
More than Darby Allin. That bump he took against Ospreay, the dark coffin drop on the edge of the ring frame was,
And had the nerve to come and wrestle on set like, I hear no damn bell. We heard the bell, Darby. We heard.
That's a perfect. I hear no damn
bell. The bell, sir, the bell rung multiple times. Maybe your bell got rung. Anyway, shout out to Darby Allin, because no, you're right. When he wrestles, I'm like, this is about to be a good match, but at what cost? The cost was the price. Speaking of Darby Allin, we do have another super chat. I was waiting for this for the end, but we started talking about Darby now. From James Zimmerman, the yo five buccarinis. Best collision of the year. The slow build of Darby Allin towards the world title is great. Buy all in July. Darby will be red hot. Darby red hot now. You see how fast he was going through that ring? He fast as boy.
and he's Teflon. Like, these losses he's taken to Claudio really haven't hurt him at all. Like, you still feel like he's going to be the next AEW world champion. Lost to Brody King at the beginning of the tournament. Did not hurt him at all. Like, he beats Ospreay, and it's just like, and if you beat Ospreay, you're a made person, it seems, in AEW. So...
Like Junk Punch Hero, legit snort laugh, Darby anime. That's what it is. I feel like I've seen Darby's soul leave his body several times. I saw Brody King hang this man. And he came back to work on Wednesday and was like, put him off, you cowards. Listen, every time I think I want to be a wrestler, I look at what Darby does. I'm like, yo, no, I can't. I'm trash.
Not for me.
I'm trash. As it turns out, I could never be a wrestler. Oh, man. Honestly, I'm not even mad. Darby Allin, you doing it. Whether you hate him or you love him, much like I'm doing this later on in life, there's going to be a kid who paints their face half skull with the skateboards. Like, Darby Allin is the reason why I like wrestling. Darby Allin saved my life, so you get it, Darby. Darberford. We now go backstage to Lexi Nair with the Vendetta. For those of you who don't know, that's Deonna Purrazzo and Taya Valkyrie. Lexi Nair is like, what's next for you guys? And here comes doofy, clumsy, I have amnesia, Toni Storm, which is really given Anastasia from Disney, but I digress. She's like, oh my God, it's so nice to meet you. And Taya's like, yeah, I'm sure. Let me guess. You also got a tattoo of a bird with a sword through his leg. And she said, yeah. And Deonna's like, yo, cut. To quote Jade Cargo, cut this. Toni, cut the shit. I'm not doing this with you. Like, and I'm glad she did that. Because at some point, are we all going to play into Toni Storm's illusion? I've had it with this woman, okay? First, you were stuck in the 1920s, and now you don't know where you've been. I'm going to kidnap you and make you watch the footage. Then what? I don't got to arrest you. I'm going to make you watch the footage. Then what? I'm with Deonna. Deonna, when she said, I'm not doing this with you.
Yeah, okay. I felt that.
But then she was like, that's why Taya's going to fight you. I'm like, Deonna, what?
I was like, oh, we're going to draw this out a bit. All right. No, I feel like this is the right person to kind of, if you want like a mini feud for Toni Storm ahead of, because I think we're all aware we're not going to get Toni Storm versus Mariah May like before the end of 2024. Mm-mm. We're probably going to get that in Australia at Grand Slam, which I think if they do this whole story right, it could be the main event of Grand Slam next year. Be the first ever women's main event for AEW because Toni Storm in Australia, that just makes sense to me. So I like the fact that Deonna was just like, no, I'm not playing this. I was like, no, I came here to AEW and my best friend I came up with in Japan is in the 1920s, doesn't knows me, but thinks that we were way back or whatever. And I dealt with you for months with that. Then I lost to you at Revolution. Then I had to get involved with Thunder Rosa because of you. I'm not dealing with all this bullshit.
Yeah.
I liked that response by Deonna and Toni Storm. Did you hear the pop for her? When she fell, you didn't mention, she fell into this interview. Like, she bumped into the cameraman. I'm sorry.
I didn't see you there. Oh, my God. Is it time for my close-up, Mr. Spielberg?
It's like, oh my God. Oh, my God. I'm so honored to meet you. And she says, oh, Deonna Purrazzo, it's such an honor. She was like, I know you. And Toni says, you do? Like, oh, my God. Oh my God. Well, yes. I want to face Taya. It's a huge opportunity. Huge opportunity for me. Thank you.
I have to tell you, Deonna Purrazzo is not wrong here. You literally put me through hell and high water as this timeless crazy lady, and now you don't know who I am. I think the highest form of I'm sick of you is the cattle prod from Kevin Nash. And if I was Deonna, I'd skip a step. You would get the cattle prod right away. Right away. Right. Billy Starks needs to cattle prod Athena. Because I saw that match and Athena can't be stopped. Yo, I love her. I don't care. She can't be stopped. And you, Deonna, to make this woman act right, you might have to give her the total recall and scramble her a little bit. Just a look.
God damn.
Yo, it's really, like you said, the feud between Timeless Toni Storm and Deonna Purrazzo was gnarly. And you got me fucked up by Thunder Rosa. And now you don't remember. I'm not doing this with you. Wrestling is predetermined, Toni. I'm not doing this with you. I'm not doing this with you. I'll tell you wrestling is not real. I'm not doing this with you. Deonna's not wrong. She's not wrong. You got me jumped. And now you forgot? Where's my scissors again?
Oh man, I'm looking forward to Toni Storm and Taya Valkyrie and whatever's next for Toni Storm. I'm on the ride. I'm enjoying it.
I'm sports entertained. I wonder if she's gonna get her memory back.
how she gets her memory back is gonna be the key.
And then what happens with that? She's like, psych, I was goofing. You was goofing. Or she's like, oh, that's what I was doing. Ooh, maybe I am a jackass. Ooh.
Oof. Maybe we need Luther to come back. That will scramble our memory.
Luther's like, I never liked the Iron Man in the first place. Now that you brought me back, I have some things to say.
I have some grievances.
Speaking of grievances, I tell you, who doesn't have one? Meet Normus. Thank you again so much for blessing the channel. Here's another small stack of monies for your bodega order after the show. Chopped cheese is better than a whack-ass cheese with Philly. I said it and won't apologize. Happy Festus to the rest of us. I mean, Philly's down bad right now. Y'all down bad right now, Philadelphia. We bound bad too, but y'all not down bad as y'all.
Yeah, I think Philly always going to be down bad worse than us because they're Philly.
Back in the day, with a $10, you could go get your sandwich, you could get the Arizona, you could get two snacks and maybe chips. Nowadays, with seven, your sandwich is like $7. Your Arizona's $1, and you got $2 for maybe chips. That's going to be $1.25 for the ones that used to be the 50-cent ones. Or you could get the little Debbie's that's supposed to be 50 cents for $1.
Yeah.
What's your bodega order?
My bodega order nowadays is a grilled chicken on a hero, mayonnaise, lettuce, cheddar cheese, and then I also get an Arizona because I'm a cheap Bronx. I want to say nigga. Oh, I said it.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Grapsody. Sorry, welcome to Grapsody.
It's extended Grapsody. It's still Grapsody. Saturday. You know what that means.
So we don't get sued by Righteous Reg Credit Boys. Wow. Dad, it doesn't help that our next match is Shelton Benjamin versus Dolly Daniel Garcia. Damn, guys, if you don't see me or SP3 anymore, it's because Sean Ross Sapp fired us. And that's fair. That's fair. We're gonna do this straight and down the line, guys. We're going to be professionals from this point on. Next, we got Shelton Benjamin versus Daniel Garcia. This was a C2 match, right?
Yeah. Blue League.
First of all, let's start out with Daniel Garcia's gear. Shout out to Magneto, the magenta and the purple. I mean, the red. I live. Listen, I love a good color coordination. That was, see you next Tuesday. Spell it out if you want. Before the bell even started, Daniel Garcia was like, I know y'all hurt people. So I gotta jump in there. I gotta do this real quick. The crowd started chanting, we hurt people. I love this.
For like 5 minutes straight, they were saying, we hurt people. They were trying to do it in different keys.
It was, we hurt people. And then it was, we hurt people. For those of us who don't have any rhythm, we hurt people. We hurt people.
See, if I was there tonight, I would have been the one to be like, somebody's gotta die.
I mean, honestly, in a distant land, Bobby Lashley versus Swerve. I support Black rights and Black wrongs, and that's about to be a Black wrong, and I can't wait. That's about to be the meatiest meat match. I can't wait. Anyway, the match to me really picked up when Shelton Benjamin was telling Daniel Garcia, slap me. So that's all you got, slap me. And then when he did slap Daniel Garcia, he turned that man inside out. I can imagine me and him watching this match like, yo, Shelton Benjamin sucks. Like,
He's trash.
Same way Shelton Benjamin watching Mia Yim in the United States. Like, yo, Chelsea Green, get her.
Let's go, Chelsea.
Guys, that's the joke. If you guys don't know, they dove each other. There was a nasty exploder on the outside to Daniel Garcia. Then there was a nasty running shotgun dropkick on Shelton Benjamin from Daniel Garcia onto the chair. Now, in the ending third, we get a missed tiger knee into the turnbuckle from Shelton Benjamin. Daniel Garcia, this is where I just wrote a whole bunch of arrows. That got turned into a scorpion death drop off the top row, and it's a dip, not a drop, baby. There was a rope crawl, but the rope, he was pulled back. It was a roll up, and it was like a really quick jackknife roll up, and that was the end. It happened so fast that I was like, oh, you gotta scurry, Daniel Garcia. That bald man is mad. He's going to get you. Those bald men in AEW are fucking mad. You gotta run. And I think it was a perfect display of Daniel Garcia is still your champion. And while Shelton Benjamin he worked Daniel Garcia. Don't get it twisted. Daniel Garcia earned every penny of that match. He got worked. But he's like, I'm still a champion. I'm still smarter than you. So while you hurt people, I win matches. We're not the same. That's why I'm champion and you're bald. Why you bald though? Yeah. So yeah, this match was really, really good. Before we get into the post-match brawl, what did you think of the slobber knocker?
This was great. This was real graps because these are two guys facing for the first time, not really knowing how it's going to feel in the ring with one another. But Daniel Garcia has a very grounded but intense kind of mat work and submission game, while Shelton Benjamin has just been on this kind of like monster heel, showing off all of his strength, tossing people with German suplex, and the German suplexes in this matchup, he was like throwing Danny across the ring at times.
Disrespectful.
I love Daniel Garcia when he's put into this underdog babyface run. Because he does it in a different way from, say, like your Darby Allins and stuff. Darby just gets the hell beaten out of him and then will go on a flurry. Danny Moore, he's like getting the momentum. The more you beat him down, yes, he's got a lot of energy expend from him, but he's kind of getting the momentum, getting fired up, getting the momentum to come back and fire back at you and use his submission. That's why him busting out the sharpshooter or scorpion deathlock out of nowhere was a nice little touch. Then Shelton reversing that into showing his submission game and doing the STF. So Danny had to roll over to the ropes. And I really didn't know who was going to win this matchup. And that's what makes the finish really well done, because out of nowhere, he just gets the jackknife pin. And every single time, no, he's basically the jackknife pin is a secondary finisher at this point for Daniel Garcia, because he's gotten so many wins with the jackknife pin, two in this tournament already. So Danny Garcia, man, he's really so good, and he's only scratching the surface of what's going to be the prime of his career. So I really enjoyed this one.
No, absolutely. Daniel Garcia is somebody who I'm like, if you weren't paying attention before, I implore you to pay attention now, because whenever they do put the title, like the world championship, he's going to be the best, where he's going to be so obnoxious in the way that he has every right to be. He is so talented, beyond talented. And in my mind's eye, in a perfect world, AEW is well established, and we have a Ricky Starks versus Daniel Garcia for the world title. Those promos would be fire. The matches would be unexpectedly amazing, like a showstopper, show stealer. And I can't wait to see what this young man does next. He is fantastic. We do get to the post-match where the Hurt Business comes out, because Daniel Garcia didn't scurry fast enough, and Bobby Lashley with these damn glasses on Bobby. The way he went down was like, like, you better run. Yeah, with the glasses make it super unserious. But when he grabbed Daniel Garcia, there was no jokes. There was nothing funny about that. You better run, young man. He is saved by Mark Briscoe. And during the melee of that, the crowd's going crazy. I didn't even see Swerve jumping up on top of the rope and didn't even try to moonsault. This man hit the Dr. Doom foot dive and just like, Bobby Lashley, I've had it with you. Foot dive. He said, I told you I'm going to get you. And the crowd, New York, Y'all did me proud tonight, because flip-floppers. Y'all went from we heard people to whose house real quick. Like Bobby Lashley wasn't still standing there. Flip-flops. And I respect it. Cause same. What did you think about this post-match? Because Swerve did say, I told you, Bobby, anytime I can, I'm going to put my hands on you. This man also got his house burnt down, so he got nothing to lose. I don't know, Bobby.
I think that outside of the opener to the show, this was the hottest segment on the whole show. Like the reaction that Swerve got for that spot was ridiculous. Like you felt like the biggest star on the show with the reaction that he got. And
he
the
even
whole
wrestle.
No, exactly. The whole Hurt Syndicate versus Swerve Strickland rivalry feels a lot hotter than even the main event program right now. The Death Rider stuff. Hurt Syndicate has been very well presented since coming to AEW. Swerve Strickland feels revitalized as a superstar, especially when he's in New York City in the Hammerstein Ballroom. It just elevates where he's already at. So yeah, this came across great. And I think that it may set up, if you want to switch it up and want to like not go back immediately to a rematch between Swerve and Bobby Lashley, you could do a like trios matchup of Swerve, Mark Briscoe, and Danny Garcia versus the Hurt Syndicate.
No, don't be a coward. Bobby, MVP, Shelton Benjamin, Prince Nana, Swerve.
No.
Nah, because Prince Nana said he still got his boots and he know how to wrestle. And I see MVP, that cane is for show. You're a wrestler. We just got to get a third person. And since you already sunned Ricochet, Ricochet could turn coat and go with Swerve. Listen, I got to hit him with the, you got to use your noodle.
Hit him with the knowledge.
The knowledge. I would like to see.
I'm with it.
We have another super chat from the beautiful Riding for Shogun. What up? Let me slide this over since y'all talk about getting demonetized. My fault. Antonia Stormington out of this. I respect it. Get out of here. Run. Flee. Even though I still see you in chat. So stay. Stay a while and listen. Stay a while and listen. And speaking of listening, guys, I have an ad that I want you to listen to.
Is your sex life stuck in developmental? Well, get ready for a call up. With BlueChew.com and the code FIFAL. Same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but how about this? No awkward in-person visits, no trips to the pharmacy. It ships straight to your door in a discreet package. But let me tell you, your package is not going to be discreet when you use Blue Chew. And the code FIGHTFUL helps give you that confidence, that performance to take you straight to the main event, if you know what I'm saying. When approved online by one of our physicians, it just arrives straight to your door. You're not going to have people nosing around with what you're doing. And right now, you get your first shipment free when you use the code FIGHTFUL. Go straight to the top, if you know what I mean. Memorable performance, high spot, you know, whatever other innuendos you can think of, BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL.
Thank you, Sean Ross Sapp. And thank you, Blue Chew. Do you make sure you Blue Chew? I don't know.
You do you make sure you Blue Chew. I don't know what to tell you.
Sorry, Morty. We do know how someone who does have something to tell us is James R. with $5. Thank you so much. Says, what the hell was that show? The Benjamin got the 3 count. He did. But that's not what
I felt like said. It was Aubrey's fault. I felt like Aubrey did not hold up the 3 count when Danny got his shoulder up.
Because the shoulder was up before the 3, but I will say Aubrey, whenever she, I believe it, because she has the Jedi mind trick. She's like, that was 3. No, it wasn't. And I'm like, you know what? You're right. She said, bro. There was one time in the very beginning of AEW, I saw Aubrey mess up. And she definitely counted 3, but she looked dead at the, and she stood there like, oh, she said 2. I guess we got punked by this ref. It's two. Who you gonna tell Aubrey that it's not?
You go right ahead. I ain't going.
You go right ahead. And I'm not telling Aubrey shit. She can beat me up. Guys, we are heading down the home stretch. We got about 4 more segments. This has gone on a lot longer than it should have. So we're going to speed run these last couple of ones, guys. Thank you so much for being here. We are now coming up on the Mark Briscoe versus the Beast Mortos. I know I said speed running it, but I don't really have notes for this because they did my boy Beast Mortos. They did him dirty. They did him dirty. All goose eggs down the line. They said, we're having beef for dinner. This was ridiculous. This match was good. Mark Briscoe and the Beast Mortos wrestling. Fantastic. Also want to give a shout out to Tony Schiavone telling Nigel McGuinness at the beginning of the match, why do you say these mean things? Get him. Because Nigel's mean. He's mean. He's a mean man. There's a beautiful torture rack into like a backbreaker on Jay Briscoe, followed by, I believe, the Froggy Bow into some knees. But it
he did the Argentinian backbreaker, which is the
one with the leg
backbreaker. Yeah. Then he picked him up, powerbomb backbreaker. Then he went for the discus clothesline, and that's when Mark reversed it. Because if he hits that third, that succession of moves, he usually wins. I was hoping for a Beast Mortos win too.
I was hoping for something. I'm like, but I, at the end of the day, Mark Briscoe does the Jay Driller, which I see you AEW. You making sure that move was protected as you should. Oh, let me stop. As you should. What did you think of this match? It's a little sad to see no points for Beast Mortos, but a steak for dinner.
This was a slapper. They went out there and they had an electric atmosphere because it's Mark Briscoe in the Hammerstein Ballroom. As someone who has seen the Briscoes in the Hammerstein Ballroom way too many times to count, this was a great time. And Beast Mortos, man, he just has this great arsenal of moves that he puts on display, and then he starts landing them. He just does it with a certain like intensity and just drops people way harder than anyone else should or does usually in the ring. And in the end, I was a little disappointed in Beast Mortos losing this matchup, but I wasn't disappointed in how he lost the match because Mark hits one froggy bow and Beast Mortos basically no-sells it. And then he hits him with another froggy bow. And he was like, that's not even going to be enough. Let me drop him on his head. 1, 2, 3. That's how he gets the win. And I think that it creates a more interesting scenario going into the final night of block action on Dynamite, because now Kyle Fletcher has to win. Fletcher basically the show on Christmas Day, it would have meant nothing for Kyle Fletcher. Kyle Fletcher would already pretty much be in the Continental Classic if he beat Mark Briscoe last week. But the fact that Mark won and then won here, so now he's tied with Kyle. Kyle needs to win to get the number one spot in the Blue League. But you still have Okada who can kind of sneak in here with a victory against Shelton Benjamin. So there's more people alive in the Blue League. It sets up a more interesting scenario because if Beast Mortos had beat Mark Briscoe, he's out of it completely. And I also think that it was basically Tony Khan had a choice. He was like, all right, one of y'all luchadors, y'all not going to win a match in this Continental Classic.
So, my guy.
Beast Mortos, Roosh, and your boys aren't here. Jake the Snake ain't here to talk for you. Alex Abrahantes is here to talk for Commander.
He's here for Commander.
I think Commander is going to be the one who gets the win. Because I think that also with, you know, kind of help you segue into the main event, I think the reason why Claudio won tonight, he's winning on Wednesday.
Oh, yeah.
I think we're getting our big upset of the tournament on Wednesday with Commander beating Claudio.
Dude, I was there last night for Ring of Honor when Commander came out. People were going ham, Taro. They wanted him to win that television title. And when he did, the amount of lucha, that he's hot. He's hot. Commander is hot. But you wouldn't know it on AEW.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You would know. All right, guys. Like you said, we are getting ready to come up to the, I almost said the ultimate, Jesus Christ. And so the main event, we do have a backstage video package with Julia Hart who said, I'm not rude. I told you I was going to do this. And then you mad because you got first. Maybe be smarter. What did you think about that, SP3?
Simple, to the point. I was like, you make good points. Solid points here.
Don't hate the player, hate the game. But I even gave the game away for free and you still didn't read. Not my fault. Followed by more women. There's a lot of angry women and I was here for it tonight. Mariah May doing her normal. I don't care. Let me tell you something, Mariah May. You can't talk about people's family. As someone who has Puerto Rican people in their family, you can't talk about Hispanic people. You can't talk about their family, especially their dad. And then say, I'm going to be your new mom. Oh, nah. She said that Thunder Rosa came out of, I don't know where she came out of.
Thin air.
That's thin air. And let that woman have it in Espanol. She let that woman have it. She let her have it in the back. Mariah was like, get this woman off me. And she sauntered outside. And Thunder Rosa came back to life after spamming A and was like, I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you. Runs out. Love her top. That little smelty, I don't know what it was. That top was cute. And she beat up Mariah May some more. I'm not mad. But honestly, Mariah May, your mouth is kind of reckless. Same thing with Mina. She had to come say, hit me in the face. Mariah May, you talk a lot. You know, I know you're probably going to beat up Thunder Rosa. And I don't like that. That being said, Thunder Rosa is going to make you work for that. You're going to have to work for that. You're going to earn every minute of that 10-minute, 20-minute match. You're going to earn every minute of it, girl. What did you think, SP3?
Oh, man. I enjoyed this segment, too. I think that it was kind of simple build with Mariah continuing what's become, like, her elitist character. Mm-hmm. I know there's some people that's like, oh, her promo on Thunder Rosa, oh, it could be seen as racist. I was like, not really. Just she thinks she's better than everybody. That's not rich and not a champion. Like, that's kind of Mariah May's character. Like, that's who she is. And she just comes across so well. She holds herself like a champion. Like a top star. Yeah. And Thunder Rosa, I think, will play well off of her. And I like the fact that this is a Tijuana street fight, because if we all know, Thunder Rosa with no rules always delivers a banger. So I expect this to be
even
one
if
of the
she
best
don't
matches.
Win, you still lose. Yeah. I can't wait. Ladies and gentlemen, get in your super chats, get in your humper chats. We're at the last match, which was the piece de resistance of this tonight. We got Claudio Castagnoli versus Darby Allin in the C2 Gold League match. Before the bell even finished, before Claudio's music even got into the last beat, Darby Allin was like, I hate you, with a shotgun tope to Claudio into the guardrail. They brawl up the ramp. Claudio yeets this man up and over, but Darby Allin gets up and says, I hear no damn bell. Hits Claudio. Claudio falls, and for some reason, that falling, Claudio's like, I'm so confused. It gave Darby enough time to go up the stairs to the top of the entrance mat where you go and do your little, I am king, and he jumps down on him. I'm like, man, the match didn't even start.
He bounced off of Claudio and slammed back first, back of his head.
The way he landed on Claudio, Claudio's shoulder was in Darby's rib. Darby has tenderized rib. It's a mech rib now. That thing, it's a mech rib. Like, it's gone. It's done. The ribs will make your wife out of your rib. Darby don't got no ribs. It's done. It's done. And somehow Claudio still managed to get to the ring before Darby, and was like, yo, start the count. Like, the bell ain't even ring. How you gonna start the count? The bell finally rings, and for some reason, Claudio says, you know what? I'm gonna take you for a ride. Swings Darby.
For a full minute.
It had to have been, but then the last 20 seconds, he's like, I'm not dizzy, and then picks up speed before yeeting this man.
Yo, dude, the way he dropped him after the swing, Darby went out of the ring. Oh my god.
I know y'all both dizzy.
There are just certain people that when they put them up against Darby Allin, you're like, oh yeah, you're the perfect Darby Allin opponent, because you could just toss him around and he's gonna sell like it's death. Brody King is one. Samoa Joe is another one. And Claudio Castagnoli is the third on my list, because he has just, the two matches that I've seen between these two guys in the past month have just been so fantastic to watch. It's so good how well they work with each other, with Claudio just being one of the strongest guys to ever step foot in a wrestling ring, to face somebody who he can effortlessly toss around the ring like Darby Allin. It just makes for a fun time, and it makes you get engaged into the action, because you're like, okay, can Darby get into this? Can Darby get any type of offense on this guy? And at times, it looked like Darby was well on his way to getting the win, like reversing power slams into Scorpion death drops off the top of the top rope. Him hitting the different dives to the outside, keeping Claudio on his back foot. But Claudio,
he's just Cyborg for a reason. He's so good, bro. Like, I also want to talk about those double stomps that Claudio gave to Darby, because like all the innovative offense that Darby does, he uses his body as a weapon. But looking at the young man, I know you don't weigh more than Claudio. Claudio looked like he weighed twice your size, solid muscle. So for this man to come down and stomp on him, ring the damn bell. The guts came out of that man's stomach. What are you doing, Claudio? I thought the Swiss were nice.
No, apparently if you don't got chocolate, they ain't nice to you. Like, what the hell?
Like, bro, like, I remember one time after Darby beat Claudio, I don't know if it was at this match or this C2 or whatever it is, Claudio shook Darby's hand, but I feel like that was the last thing. He's like, I'm never gonna let you beat me again, you'll plot armor. I'm never gonna let you beat me again.
I ain't never gonna let your plot armor beat me, son.
And then he goes on to beat you a bunch more times. I understand the disrespect. I'm tired of losing to this guy. He's got to be stopped. I'm tired of losing to this guy. How do you lose to Darby Allin? He throws his whole body at me. What am I supposed to do?
Pretty much. But I like the fact that this result, it really is creating what's going to be the main obstacle of Darby Allin before he even gets to Jon Moxley. It's Claudio Castagnoli. Claudio is now 2-0 against Darby, with the win before the C2 and then this win. At least Darby didn't have to get launched into a damn table like he did in the first matchup. Oh, this time he just went back first with Claudio's whole body on top of him through a table. He still went through a table, but he did make it back into the ring in time. And then I love the finish of the matchup with Claudio busting out the Ricola bomb and not being able to finish Darby. And I love Darby's kick out was just like,
His body, as they would say, his body is just so instinctually used to kicking out that he just, he could, even in his sleep, if he sleeps too long and you whisper, 1, 2, there's only one other person I know who has that talent. That's Johnny Gargano.
Yes.
So you can't knock that man out for nothing. Even in his sleep, that man could work 28 hours, him and Darby. 1, 2.
But yes, and Claudio just freaking getting a steel chair, but at the same time putting something in his trunks, and then coming in with the steel chair, letting the ref take it, and then taking out the brass knuckles and punching Darby in the face.
I'm not mad at that.
It's like, dude, you have a 1 foot and 100-pound advantage. Why do you need brass knuckles to beat Darby out?
It's about sending a message. Bro, he's like Goku. Darby Allin is the Goku of AEW.
He basically was trying to kill him with like a pipe or something and a knife, and then he just got a gun. He was like, man.
Listen, I'm not saying what Kevin Nash did to Goldberg was right. I'm just saying when it comes to certain wrestlers, I understand. Like, you can't pin Darby because he's going to kick out. You can't submit Darby because he's not going to submit. You can't hurt Darby because pain is life. What would you have me do? I do like that. He's like, I don't see. I do think that Darby, who is above cheating, Claudio is not. And that is going to be another, like you said, if his biggest crux is Claudio, you're going to have to cheat. Because while Claudio is like, okay, maybe I can't out-wrestle you, I'm going to cheat, and I know you're not. And even if you do cheat, you're not that guy to cheat. So I'm just going to cheat you worse. I'm going to get you. I'm going to cheat you, bro. I'm going to get you.
That's why Darby's going to probably need like a no DQ or coffin match of some sort to finally beat Claudio so he can get to Moxley. It's not going to happen probably until like sometime in 2025.
I'm a Claudio stan. I don't want to see Claudio lose to Darby. I didn't want to see that tonight. I'm glad we got what we got.
I did. I wanted Darby to win.
Listen, it's nothing against Darby, but I'm team. This plot armor's got to stop, okay? Like Deonna Purrazzo with Toni Storm tonight. Dad, I'm not doing this with you, Darby. I'm not doing this with you.
You're not going to do this to me, Mr. Allen. Not today.
Bro, Mount Everest couldn't take you out. How can I?
Good point.
We're going to end this off with a sub from the beautiful Meat Normans. Thank you so much. I chugged my soda while Claudio swung Darby, and now I'm turned. That wasn't soda.
If you turn, you ain't soda, sir.
That was scissor. drop the Jericho shit and add more women's match. Me forever, partners. Happy Christmas. You know, I think there is a place for Chris Jericho. It's just that it sometimes gets real grating real fast. And much like Ricochet, who leans into the corn, I think Jericho don't know when to stop.
No, he don't. He goes full on. It's like he's a freaking addict who sees like a pile of cocaine. They can't just take one line. They got to dive head first into the cocaine. That's Chris Jericho on the corn. He diving head first into the corn, sniffing it all.
And on that note, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to end our cast here. We're already demonetized. Sean Rossat, thank you so much for letting me be here the first day, last day. SP3, what you got going on, and where can the people find you?
Thank you so much, Cresta, for having me on today. I had a great time. Bunch of laughs. My face hurts from laughing and smiling way too much. They can follow me on the Twitter machine at TrueHillSP3. You can find a lot of my content over at the True Hill Heat Wrestling YouTube channel. We just hit 20,000 subscribers earlier today. So I want to thank anyone who has already subscribed. If you haven't already, go over there. Got plenty of great content, especially for the end of year. We got end of year tier lists for the AEW roster, WWE roster. We got end of year awards coming up on our flagship podcast next Saturday. We got end of year lists coming up on the channel as well. We do Raw reviews, AEW Dynamite reviews. Go over and check it out. And you can see my written work over at SI.com, The Takedown on Sports Illustrated. I'm going to be doing our top 10 moments of 2024. And you can check out the awards for Sports Illustrated right now for pro wrestling. So go over there, check it out. And thank you so much for having me. And you can see me on Thursdays right here on the main channel with Kate reviewing ROH Ring of Honor. So we got a lot to discuss coming up next Thursday. So join us live here.
Guys, my name is Cressa Starr. You can also find me here every Thursday and Saturday going over the TNA show following directly after SP3 show. So if you had a good time with SP3, you'll see him on Thursday with Kate. And then you'll see me right after for TNA every Saturday. Well, not this Thursday. TNA is pretty much done for the year until the new year. Yeah, listen, we're not doing the best of this. This is what it is. Every Saturday, you can find myself here with Rick and Iridian, and I guess now sometimes SP3, going over all things Collision. And you can also find me on my personal socials, Cressa Starr at TikTok, Cressa Starr at Twitch. Every Wednesday, we do the AW Dynamite Watch Along. Besides that, I'm not as cool as my co-host, but I will be one day. I had a good time. And if you had a good time, please consider giving this video a thumbs up. Subscribe to Fightful Select. Like I said, we've got scoops. We got contract updates. Ask Sean Ross Sapp. All those could be at the fingertips of you instead of getting it aggregated from the finger to someone else. $5. Best $5 in the business. For myself and SP3, we're done here. Thank you guys so much for being here with a review that took too long. We appreciate you. Have a good one. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. No matter what you celebrate, you're beautiful. I hope you find $20 on the floor and your butt looks nice. Bye.
Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.